Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. Life and it work has gotten in the way, but we're back.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you've been good in the time away.
I'm functioning.
I feel the same way.
I'm functioning. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't snapped at anybody this week.
Oh, well, I can't say that. I've definitely snapped at people. But, you know, they deserved it.
Yeah. Everybody has a breaking point.
Yeah. How's things in Florida?
Oh, you know, it's Florida. Our governor's wife stole $10 million that was designated for COVID funds for a charity she made up that actually was a lobbyist.
Oh.
So I'm sure she'll get away with it because, you know, that's the way it is.
Yeah. And it's spring break season, so there's probably lots of crowds down there for you.
Oh, there's lots of morons down here. I am lucky I make it home alive every day.
Yeah. I saw a picture, I think it was on Facebook, of Epcot yesterday where it was just like shoulder-to-shoulder people. So I was like, oh, must be spring break.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. I remember those days. You couldn't even drive down I-4 without, like, you know, I think it was spring break when I watched people back up on I-4 because they had missed their exit.
Oh yeah,
like, really, dude, come on.
All the time.
It's just
all
crazy.
The time. Or the ones who are in the wrong lane to turn and decide they're gonna go anyway and cut other people off.
Yeah
it's a very interesting time. There are people who shouldn't be allowed to leave their homes.
Yeah.
But here they are, the vacation capital of the United States.
Well, yeah, and I mean, with all the talk of the economy these days, as long as I see that many people, you know, shoved into a theme park, it's like, I know that they're all paying for it with, like, credit cards and shit, but, like, there's got to be a breaking point for Florida when all of a sudden, like, it just starts to dry up because people can't afford, you know, groceries anymore.
Right.
So they start canceling their trips to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it'll quiet down for you then.
We'll see. I think the new Universal theme park is going to either light a fire under Disney or just surpass them at this point.
I mean, it looks really cool.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be going all out with, like, their theming and their theme parks. Like, and I don't know if it was the Harry Potter thing that really kicked that off.
I think it was.
Yeah. Where they were like, oh, we can really do immersive storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, good on them. I mean, somebody's got to be pushing forward.
Yeah.
And the Harry Potter thing was before Galaxy's Edge, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so that probably pushed Disney to be like, oh, we got to do something cool. Which, to be fair, Galaxy Edge is cool.
It's cool, but they cut all the interactivity and put it into a hotel for 100 people, and that failed.
And then they closed it, yeah.
And then they closed it, and now it's becoming offices.
Yeah, and
so, you know, good use of that.
And I think my favorite is the fact that, like, when Galaxy's Edge opened, it was, like, a specific story, and now it's like, oh, no, now it's going to have Boba Fett, and it's going to have Luke Skywalker, right. And it's going to have all these people that don't fit into that story. And it's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good times. Go Disney.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, we had some couple of deaths while we were off the air.
Major one for me was Val Kilmer. He was like 65, I think, which is way too fucking young. Apparently it came out that he died of pneumonia. But apparently through the autopsy, they found out that his cancer had come back. So I don't know how much longer he would have been alive anyway, but I definitely, over the past couple of weeks, have done kind of a deep dive into his filmography, and watched a bunch of stuff.
Have you watched The Island of Dr. Moreau?
No, I can't, man. I saw it once and I was like, that's enough.
But it stars him and Brando
Marlon Brando, yeah. And
in white face and a dress
the creepy
and
little
that weird
guy.
little creature thing. Yeah, totally bizarre.
Yeah. And that, like, if you look into the history of that movie, like, that was doomed from the beginning. Like, there was all kinds of shit that had happened during the production. I think they had fired their director at one point, and then they brought somebody else in to finish it, and then he wanted to make a completely different movie. Like, all kinds of weird shit was going on. But yeah, I mean, Val's been a fixture in my life since the early 80s. There are several roles that, are kind of like defining roles for me. Like, I don't remember if I saw Top Secret or Real Genius first. But there are Val Kilmer lines from movies that I will say to this day, because he had such an impact on, like, my childhood. Not so much like Top Gun, but, like, definitely like Real Genius. To this day, if I'm in the right company and somebody asks me what something is, I will answer, "It's a penis stretcher. You want to try it?" From Real Genius. So yeah, that was a big one.
I didn't realize that he had moved, kind of moved in with Cher when he was first really, really sick.
Oh, really?
Because they had dated.
Okay. She dated everybody, though.
She did, but they were all incredibly younger than her.
Is that where he did he die at Cher's house?
No,
Oh,
no.
okay.
But yeah, I mean, he's had a bunch of iconic roles and, Mad Mardigan being huge.
Yeah, like Jim Morrison in The Doors. Yeah, Willow, Top Gun, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, if you're like, into his, like, super kind of weird stuff. Tombstone being one of his, like, there's a lot of people that say that he should have won the Oscar for Doc Holliday. But yeah, I mean, he's done a ton of shit. He was the voice of the new Kit in the Knight Rider reboot. Until he lost his voice.
Sad.
Yeah. And anybody who really wants to a deep dive, like the documentary Val that's on Amazon is truly worth watching. 'Cause he goes through it all, and there's, like, it's a very raw, like, this is what my life is now type thing. This is where I've come from, this is where I am. And his son, I guess, sounds a lot like him, so they use him as a voiceover person, where, like, it's supposed to be Val telling the story, but it's actually his son. So yeah, I mean, it's very, very interesting. Like, look at his life. But yeah, that's a huge loss.
Yeah.
Who else died?
Well, to tie this in with Willow, Jean Marsh, who was Bev Morda.
Oh, okay.
She was 90. She died today.
Oh. That's apparently. Why I hadn't heard it.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, 90's a real good run, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess she died from complications with dementia.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything that like really fucks with your brain. I don't know. That's a horrible way to go.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening.
Yeah. I didn't realize that she had been married for 5 years to a Doctor Who.
Which one?
Jon Pertwee.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. He was the third Doctor. But, and he died in 96. But she was apparently only married once for 5 years from 1955 to 1960.
Okay.
And then I guess she was just rolling single or never bothered to get remarried or whatever.
Right. Well, life's short.
Yeah. Even 90 years.
Oh,
short.
she was also in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Well, I guess every British actor has been in Doctor Who.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage, I think. It's like that and Coronation Street are like the two things that if you're an actor, you wind up on at some point. And then, like, you know, for a time it was also Harry Potter.
Right.
But then there was that weird crossover where Doctor Who was in Harry Potter. It just broke reality.
Yeah. Have you watched the new Doctor Who?
I did. The one that just came out?
Yeah, the one on the planet of robots?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I did too.
Yeah. They've definitely set up a mystery, which is rare for Doctor Who to have like a season arc like that from the beginning. Most of the time it like meanders and then like the last three episodes lead to something. And they're starting this off with like, we know that his companion was an actress who was in the first season as a different character, and they like hit that head on towards the end where they're like, well, that's an ancestor, a distant ancestor in the future, and
right,
but now there's a force that's keeping them from going to the day that they left, and like, you know, it was a decent episode. It was very Doctor Who.
It was. And Mrs. Flood was there.
Yeah, Mrs. Flood is there, and she breaks the fourth wall again about, like, mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry, he won't see me. So yeah. I gotta imagine that she's somehow connected to what's going on in the new companion and stuff. I mean, it would only make sense if, you know, she somehow winds up being responsible or whatever.
Right.
Just because, like, she also showed up at the end of the Christmas episode? Where, like,
yes.
She was dressed all in white and was, like, you know, she said something to the camera. I can't imagine they'd let that go for another year or so. I don't know. I mean, it was definitely Doctor Who. It definitely, and Cootie is fastly becoming one of my favorite doctors.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little, I don't know why they make him so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like there's a prerequisite that in each episode he has to cry at least once. And he does that all the time now, and it's like, okay, can we, like, I don't know, can we have one where he's just like happy?
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
At least for a little while.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with this season.
Yeah,
there's a theory that Mrs. Flood is kind of a godlike character.
Okay.
So she could possibly have written this or manipulated this new reality that she's in.
Huh, okay.
But, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see.
What else have you been watching?
Have you watched the new season of Righteous Gemstones?
Yes, I have.
I have seen more of Walter Goggins than I ever want to see.
So from the beginning, this has been a TV show where it's like, we know that you want to see boobs, but you're going to see dick instead.
Right.
From the very beginning, like the whole first episode is about them trying to recover a video of Jesse in, I think it's Atlanta, where him and his friends are with hookers and stuff, but you don't see the hookers, you just see the guys running around naked. And wasn't there an episode, was it last season or the season before, where the guy's like jerking off in the bed and the guy comes and like beats him up? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they've always been about like, we're going to show you dick. And I don't know if it was Walter Goggins making up for his trans character in Sons of Anarchy, where mm-hmm. he played a woman or what, but yeah, he's got a couple of scenes this season where his dick is just swinging out in the wind and it's like, okay.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that, and we were treated to John Goodman giving it to Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
Doggy style.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But they're really going all in on this year.
Yeah, it's the final season.
Mm-hmm. You can tell.
I think that they knew that, like, we're just going to try to get away with whatever the fuck we can.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they are.
I liked the prayer pods that they were trying to uh-huh. like sell. And then mm-hmm. the one guy was like, they call them squirt yurts because people were just going in there and jerking off.
Yeah. I loved the whole production number they were rehearsing with the angel wings and the jetpacks.
And the jetpacks, yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, that's really what religion is about these days.
I mean, I appreciate Danny McBride making a TV show about corrupt religious figures in Charleston, South Carolina.
Right.
I think that's amazing. Like, it's so, like, if you live here, you understand that church is a way of life here. And the fact that they don't try to hide that it's South Carolina, that it's like, it's this huge corrupt family that's burning down the competition and they're all corrupt and crooked and shit. It's just amazing. Kudos
right.
to Danny McBride, man.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I'm not sure if Walton Goggins used a prosthetic or not, but like,
I don't think so.
No, you think that it was just him?
I think that was all him.
Okay. Maybe he's like, this is my chance to show everybody, because nobody else is going to let me do this.
Well, he did it in the first season. Was it the first season? Second season. When we were first introduced to Baby Billy.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen the first.
Yeah. In the bathtub when he stands up.
And, okay. Yeah. I kind of remember that now.
Yeah. We've had a few episodes of Daredevil since we talked.
Yes. How are you feeling about the season?
I really like it, but I am feeling very deja vu that this is very close to real news.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I know that they had redone... They had shot a bunch of stuff, and then they came back and they were like, yeah, we're going to retool this because this is not what we felt it should be. And Disney allowed them to do it, which was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're just really good at predicting the future and like writing it into like the story or what, but yeah, it's kind of freaky what they've kind of rolled into this show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. You know, corrupt politicians, corrupt police.
Yeah.
Revelation we got at the end of this last episode at the inaugural ball.
Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that this is a Daredevil TV show that largely does not have Daredevil in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, Matt's in it a lot. Like, Matt is the main character, but Daredevil is not. And he's only shown up a couple of times. Like, he shows up for the first episode and then nothing for, like, 5 or 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
While he, like, figures his shit out. And even now, it's, like, very sparingly. So I'm kind of down for that. I do wish there was a little bit more of the Punisher, though.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like, where is he?
Yeah. I mean, they showed him that once, and apparently that cameo was supposed to take place later on in the season.
Hmm.
And they moved it so that they could get him in there.
Right.
But I don't know. We're getting a Punisher miniseries.
Right.
So I don't know if this was just their thing of like, yeah, he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Daredevil showed up in Echo.
Right.
Just kind of as a tie-in thing. And
well, She-Hulk.
And She-Hulk. But we're also getting... you know, within the confines of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all of the TV shows, like there are returning characters like Ms. Marvel's father is in an episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He shows up. The guy that is
the tracksuit mafia guys are there.
They're in it. The guy from Hawkeye that was trying to buy the sword and the suit that ended what's your name's like stepdad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it. Like, so they've done this great job of tying it all together.
Right.
Of not forgetting about these characters and being like, oh yeah, like we can bring, I really wanted to see Matt go to the dinner in Jersey City and meet Kamala. Like, I thought that would have been cool.
Right.
Just as a way to be like, oh yeah, all of this shit's happening all at the same time.
Right.
It still does bug me though. Every time they show the skyline of New York that the old Avengers Tower can't be seen.
Right.
Which it should be, but you know, I guess they feel as long as they keep it in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's what, one episode left?
Yeah.
Sick. Nine episodes?
Nine episodes, yeah.
Yeah. And then we go into Andor.
Yep. And we get 4 weeks of three episodes a week.
Yep.
Which is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really looking forward to that.
So I took your advice and I watched The Residents.
What'd you think?
On Netflix. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
It's very much Knives Out in the White House.
Yep.
There's even an episode called Knives Out, like, which I thought was a little weird, but you know, whatever. But it's done so well. I couldn't pick out who the killer was,
mm-hmm.
until she goes into the big speech in the last episode of how she got to the conclusion of who it was.
Right.
And they make you suspect everybody. Everybody has a motive. Everybody has the opportunity. And at one point or another, it really makes it look like everybody is in the murder.
Right.
And they could have done a thing where it's kind of like Murder on the Orient Express, where everybody's the murderer.
Yep.
But they didn't. But they tied it all together brilliantly. And I thought it was really, really well done. And I kind of want to see... I forget the actress's name, the main actress.
Azo Aduba?
Yes. I really want to see her take that character to another case.
Yes.
Like, she's really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I blew through that really fast because I was like, this is fucking amazing. I don't think murder mysteries are done very well in the visual medium a lot these days.
Right.
But there are some. Knives Out, this. Murder on the Orient Express, to a lesser degree, are done really well. And then you get, like, Death on the Nile, and you're just like, oh, this is a piece of shit. So
yeah.
I really appreciate like a good murder mystery. So yeah, I was super jazzed. And they did like you had been talking about, like the dollhouse fly-throughs of the White House was super cool.
Yeah.
And I guess I had been reading about it. Andre Brower was the original head steward.
Usher,
yeah.
Yep.
And they had filmed like four episodes and then the strike happened and he died while the strike was going on. And when they came back, they were like, well, we can scrap everything. We can scrap the whole thing, or we can try to find somebody else and just reshoot the things that we need to reshoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they found Giancarlo Esposito.
Right.
But he's such a good actor, man. Like Andre Brower was good too, but like Esposito is the shit, man. Like he's such a good villain, and he's really good at like these, like, I don't know how you really talk, like describe this character. He's the head usher of the White House, so he's kind of strict, but like there's also like this side of him where you can tell that he really loves his job and he's got to deal with all these personality types, and he's just flawless in his acting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a really interesting cast. Jason, what's his name? Now I have to look it up. Hang on. Where is he? Jason Lee is in it as like the weird brother.
Yes. Yes, as his has his oh, what was Clinton's brother's name?
Oh yeah,
the Billy Bear.
Yeah, so like he's in it. Randall Park's in it.
Yep.
Bronson Pinchot is in it. I could have
Ken Marino.
Yeah, I could have done without seeing Mary Wiseman like fuck the guy in the tree. I mean, she's Tilly from Star Trek. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden she's just like banging this dude and you're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's got.
I liked Al Franken as the senator.
Yeah. Yeah, he did really well. Mel Rodriguez, who was in Last Man on Earth, was really good in it. Like they're all really, really good.
I mean, Jane Curtin.
Yeah. Who I guess I was expecting more.
I was too. From her. I thought she would have.
And it's like, I wonder if they shot all her stuff within the first four episodes.
Oh.
And like they didn't need her back.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. You know, they knew what her role was going to be.
Right.
But yeah, it's a really well put together show.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they tried to get Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I do too. And he was just too busy or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the guy sounds like him.
He does.
And I love the, like, he's, like, they have the White House on lockdown and he's, like, dancing with everybody to try to keep them, like, you know, and then he, like, they let him crash upstairs and they're like, no, you can't let him upstairs.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's a, that was a really good recommendation. I really like that.
I went back and I rewatched the first episode of Paradise.
Yeah.
And then ended up watching the whole thing.
Okay.
It's very much Silo.
Yeah, there's definitely things with it shares in common with Silo and with what's the other one? The other post-apocalyptic one.
Fallout,
yeah. Like it's a society that's living underground.
Mm-hmm.
But like I like the way that they told the backstory to that as well. Like you got bits of it throughout until you get to the episode where it explains everything.
Right.
And why it's these people and why it's, you know. And I even felt like even with that show, like they did a pretty good job of keeping the identity of the killer kind of in limbo until they needed to reveal it and his story of why he did it and stuff. But I mean, it seems like there's going to be a season two.
There is because they've announced some casting for it.
Oh, did they?
Shailene Woodbury.
Oh, okay.
Who I would assume is playing his wife.
Okay.
I just hope it doesn't turn into Walking Dead. It's like, oh, we're going to go to abandoned cities and we're going to face peril. And we're just going to keep missing each other.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
But, they did a good job for being, you know, what's quickly becoming a trope.
Well, for like a network TV show, I felt like they did pretty well.
Yeah. So I'm glad I went back because I didn't catch any of those plot points in the first episode.
Okay.
So once they, you know, they started building on the mythology they were setting up, it's like, oh, okay. Now I kind of understand.
Yeah. Did you hear the other news that they released this week about what's coming back? It's one of your favorites.
One of my favorites?
Yeah.
The Kardashians?
No. They're doing a 6-episode Lost. miniseries.
Oh, why?
With Sawyer going back to the island.
Huh?
It's called Lost, We Have to Go Back, I think is what it's called.
Wow.
But they announced that the dude that played Sawyer is like the main lead in it.
Okay. That's kind of weird, I guess. And he goes back to the island.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if that's the case, then we should be getting like Hurley and the other guy, because they've taken over the island.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, can't say I'm looking forward to watching it, but who knows?
Well, you know where they all end up.
In heaven.
In heaven, together.
That's special. I'd rather them do a reboot of Mama's Family.
That might be a...
Although I think Mama's the only actress who's still alive.
Oh. Really?
Well, Rue McClanahan and Betty White played her sisters. They're both dead.
Yeah.
Did you see they're finally adding a new category to the Academy Awards for stunt design?
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
We talked about that last time, like before the last Academy Awards. Good. It fucking needs it.
Yep. They want to make it about the overall stunt design of a film as opposed to like a specific sequence.
Okay.
So I don't know how that'll go over, because there are some movies that just throw in, you know, a random stunt sequence and then that's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely stunt-based movies, and then there are movies that have stunts in them that I don't necessarily know if those would be considered for the same thing. But, I don't know. I think it should be like the best stunt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that at least is quantifiable, as instead of trying to have people look at the design of the entire film.
Right.
Because
right.
Each stunt is probably different in a film. Like, especially if you have like a big set pieces like Marvel, you have different types of stunts for different action scenes.
Right.
So if you're really proud of your one stunt sequence, I think that's what should probably go in there.
Yeah, apparently it's not going to happen until 2028.
No.
With the 2027 releases.
Crap. Okay.
I wonder if they'll name it after Yakima Canutt. My favorite name.
I mean, okay, for 2027, right now, like what's scheduled to come out? Avengers Secret Wars. The Batman Part 2. Children of Blood and Bone, Tomb Raider 2, like there's a lot of things that are going to have stunts in it. So that should be an interesting group to start this with. But it's only fair. I mean, those people really need the recognition.
Oh, yeah, for years.
Yeah, they're putting their lives on the line for entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you see the Tron Ares teaser?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
I don't know. It feels like a Free Guy ripoff.
I wasn't really excited about it until they showed, I mean, the light cycles in the city were fine, but the recognizer over the city made me excited. And okay. I was like, all right, this, whether or not I like Jared Leto and whether or not he's going to bring anything to this other than his stilted delivery as an actor,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But like, if that's the kind of set pieces that they're doing with like the Tron universe kind of flooding into the real world, that yeah. might be really cool.
You didn't feel a little bit like that 3D Simpsons episode when at the very end, Homer breaks out into the real world?
I mean, everything can be compared to that, I guess. But, you know, I would have really liked to have seen Sam and Cora back from Legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which that doesn't appear like they're going to be in this film. And the promise of that Legacy kind of gave of like Clue trying to get everybody out into this new world seemed like a really cool idea. And instead of going into the grid coming out to the real world, there's some cool things in there that they could do. And as long as they can kind of deliver on that promise, I'm kind of excited for it.
Right.
I just, you know, trailers can be very deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying not to get too excited because the next trailer that comes out might just make it look like dog shit.
Yeah.
But yeah. Not really sure why the program that they send has long dark hair other than Jared Leto doesn't want to cut his hair.
Yeah.
You know, they recast Cillian Murphy's character from Legacy. Cause he played Dillinger's yes. kid. And now right. it's Evan Peters. So that's kind of a downgrade.
Hmm. It'll be interesting to see what kind of marketing they pull out for this.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally see a drone version of the gate flying over major cities. Maybe some more bad drone shows.
I mean, it's definitely got potential.
It does.
It's just really what they do like, with what they do with it and if they can market it in a way to get people excited.
Mm-hmm.
I know Legacy had its issues, especially with the de-aged stuff. But I don't know. I think that this could be a cool story. That's not the same old thing. It's not somebody finding their way into the grid.
Right.
It's the grid coming out and, you know, how that affects the real world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the poster is really cool.
Yeah. Guess I'll have to make another identity disc since this one is now not round.
Can you still call it identity disk?
I don't know. I'm sure they're going to try.
The identity triangle?
I don't even know what that shape is called.
Yeah.
It's
six-sided.
Yeah. It's a, what's, not a, pentagon is five. What's six?
Mm-hmm. Sexagon. Seriously.
No, that's just, that'd be funny if that's what they called it. The sexagon disc.
Well, Jeff Bridges is in it, so.
Yeah, and but Bruce Boxleitner's not in it. At least not that we know of. And that homeboy's Tron. So, like, why are we calling this Tron?
Right.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Oh, you know who we missed in the when we were talking about people dying?
Oh.
Richard Chamberlain.
Oh, that's right. He Dr. died. Kildare.
Yeah, he died too.
Yep. He dead.
He dead.
He was, I think
he was also 90.
His finest acting role was as now I'm totally blanking. The guy who played Drew's boss. The British guy.
In the Drew Carey show?
Yes.
Craig Ferguson?
Yes. He played Craig Ferguson's mother.
On the Drew Carey show?
Uh-huh.
Get out of town, really? Why do I not remember that? Maggie Wick in two episodes. Okay.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Wow.
And it's on YouTube. Kind of scary. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Oh my. Wow. Good for him for I guess getting talked into that.
I don't think they had to do much talk. So from what I remember was that I don't know if he approached them. But I remember in an interview, because this was after he had come out, and he was saying that he had like created this character that he would play at home at like parties.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it was that big of a stretch.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, it was, it's interesting to see an actor like that who was known as such a heartthrob.
Yeah.
Do something totally out of character and against type.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, he had a long, good career too.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like he stopped acting probably around the time of the pandemic, which would make sense. I mean, he died at 90.
Right.
So like he was in his 80s. I'm sure they were like, yeah, you don't need to be on a set somewhere.
Yeah, I guess he did a like an interview thing right before COVID or during
Okay.
COVID. I don't know. It was in 2020.
I mean, I think my first exposure to Richard Chamberlain is probably him as Alan Quartermain
Okay.
in King
Yep.
Solomon's Mines. God, I haven't seen that movie in such a long time, with a really young Sharon Stone in it. That might be something I need to look up. Is it streaming on Prime? It is. Adding that to the watch list.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And that they have the sequel too. Alan Quartermain in the Lost City of Gold.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I want to say that the King Solomon's Mines was one of those movies that when I was a kid, when we had HBO, that was one of like the ones that was constantly on repeat. Like every day there was a showing of King Solomon's Mines. And I want to say it was around the same time as like The Last Starfighter was on HBO constantly. And I think I just kind of went back and forth between the two. Yeah, he did a ton of shit.
Yeah. He was like the king of the miniseries for a long time. Because he
Yeah.
did the Thornbirds and he did something else after that.
He was in Shogun.
Yep.
Centennial. Yeah. Jeez. Life's too short.
Ooh, for $25, you can buy a ticket and you might be able to win a trip to LA to have a barbecue at the Brady House.
Ooh.
I can bring a friend.
Is the cast there? Do we get to meet Marcia and Jan?
I don't know.
Or is it just a barbecue at the house?
Oh, for $250, you can get into the house and take pictures for an hour.
That's a lot of money for just pictures.
Yeah. A winner and their guests will receive airfare, transportation, hotel accommodations, and meals.
Interesting.
10 winners, 5 in Australia and 5 in the US. Wild. I wonder why Australia? Is the Brady Bunch big in Australia?
I have no idea.
Oh well. Who knows?
Maybe it's one of those shows that like just has a big following everywhere.
It could. Right, I think that's all I got. You got
Okay.
anything else?
No, but to answer your question, the Brady Bunch gained significant popularity in Australia, particularly among children who watch it regularly after school.
That's when I used to watch it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever watched it first run.
I don't think you're
No,
old
I
enough
wasn't, I'm
for
not, yeah,
fun.
I wasn't old enough for first run.
Yeah.
But it was always on as.
I don't think I was either. I just remember it being one of those afternoon TV shows that was on a
Yeah.
lot.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's why the Brady Bunch is big in Australia, I guess. I guess they imported it and they just went nuts for it.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw it in prime time.
No.
No. I mean, it ended in 1970. I would have been five.
I thought it ran the 74.
How many seasons?
Wait a minute.
Five seasons, 69 to 75.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I would only have been one. Which means I saw them all in rerun.
Right.
But I do remember, wasn't there like in the late 70s, early 80s, wasn't there like a Brady Kids cartoon or something?
There was.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
There were a couple of TV movies and...
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they tried to reboot it at some point.
Well, there was the...
Where the daughters got married.
Yeah, the Brady Brides.
Yeah, and then there was
one of
like
them was
a
Martha
Christmas
Quinn.
Special. Was it?
Yep. Yeah, one of them was Martha Quinn, because that was in the 80s.
Okay.
Who else was in that? Full cast and crew. I swear to God that Martha Quinn was in this fucking show.
Well, maybe Martha Quinn was in one of the other Brady shows. A Very Brady Christmas, maybe? Or The Bradys, which was a show in the 90s?
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay.
Because there's an article in the LA Times from 1990 that says, childhood crush to be fulfilled.
Yeah, she played Tracy Brady.
Yep.
Whoever the fuck that was in the show. Yeah, I mean, the Bradys had a good long life in different versions.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was also the...
Yeah, she's Bobby's wife.
There was also the, wasn't there like variety?
Yes.
Shows with the Brady Kids?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, damn.
By the same people who did, all the Sid and Marty Krofft stuff and the Donnie and Marie show.
Yeah.
The Brady Bunch Hour.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And then Robert Reed died and they just stopped doing Brady stuff.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I've had enough. Thanks.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was probably the epitome of the 1970s variety show.
Okay.
To see Florence Henderson and Alice doing like Shake Your Booty and The Hustle and...
And apparently there was a show called Day by Day that ran for 2 years. That crossed over with the Brady Bunch at some point. Julia Louise Dreyfus was in it. Dora Birch. Good God. At least for an episode, like the Brady showed up or whatever.
Yeah, Courtney Thorne Smith, Julia Louis Dreyfus.
Yeah. Weird.
Oh, you know what it was? It was a dream sequence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Okay.
The kid who was the son was also the voice of Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know. Well, yeah, they had two full seasons.
Yeah. Well, and the Brady's had an entire lifetime of fucking shows.
Right?
The Brady dynasty. Like
billionaires by now.
It was all squandered on blow.
Well, that was Murray McCormick's problem.
Yeah. That's why they had to keep doing all those shows.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to stop then.
All right.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
You don't want to fuck with a Roman because they will crucify you.